Welcome back to the Health Revival Show. We are talking all around fatigue and exercise intolerance today.
Very common.
Yeah.
I think
it is. I think a lot of people too think soreness is a good thing and it's like you worked hard. And sometimes I think occasional soreness can be like when you're changing training methodologies or your program changes and you're doing maybe higher volume compared to more heavier weights with longer rests in between, like that can be normal. But if you are debilitating sore or sore after every workout, we're missing something.
Especially for multiple days.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I hate being sore. I'm like, I used to be like, oh, I'm sore. It's a good feeling. And now I'm like, no, I can't get my bra on.
I can't do my hair. I can't sit on the toilet. I can't walk down the stairs. Yes. And sometimes it happens. Like you said, when you're changing things and, or maybe you're working muscle groups that you just haven't in a while, there can be normalcy. But again, as we've kind of previously talked about in other episodes, what are you doing to support recovery? Because I know from previous gym ownership life, women would not listen. We had a split Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. That was your ideal strength training split. There was cardio, you know, stuff put in there from like the warm-ups or finishers or whatever. But then Wednesdays and Saturdays were more what we would call like our makeup days. And that would be your higher intensity, like circuit training. And these women would want to come in 6 days a week, but sometimes 2 days. Like I would have people during our challenges be like, can I come back for class tonight? And I'm like, no, you need to go home and eat and drink water and stretch and, you know, take a cold shower or something. But anyways, what do we mean when we say exercise intolerance? So this is not just being out of shape. You know, if you are somebody at the start of the new year going into the gym, I just want to first take this moment to remind you that we all had day one. I was sharing this with a friend a few weeks ago. I feel day one after both of my boys. It was very hard. I couldn't keep up. I couldn't do things. I compare myself, you know, to what I used to be able to do. And so I would just encourage you to know that nobody's judging you. You should be proud of yourself. And day one is day one. Then it's going to be day 30, day 60, day 90, and you're going to be in a totally different place. You won't be able to do, you know, I won't be able to do today as an experienced person training, you know, I'm sorry, 3 months from now, I'll be able to do things that I'm not able to do today, right? In terms of you're always looking for progress and progression and changing things and improving your skills, essentially, right? So we're all in it together, no matter what day you started. But don't compare your day one to somebody else's day 1500, right? Mm-hmm. So with this, what is exercise intolerance? So this is disproportionate symptoms for the level of exertion. So you might be doing something that doesn't require that much energy, but you are short of breath. You're like, holy moly, I just walked up 2 flights of stairs. I should be able to do that easily. And I'm pausing here because I had to catch my breath. You could have air hunger. You could have dizziness. You could have extreme fatigue. Like you do these lifts and you're just bottomed out. Like let's say, for example, you go in, it's squat day. You get to that heavy set of 5 and you're like gassed out. And you still have 4 or 5 different things in your, you know, training program to do. That would be an example here where, you know, your body is not tolerating the level that you are doing. You could have heart palpitations, rapid heart rate, feel like you're on speed, muscle weakness or pain. So that's one thing. I definitely have experienced this going back postpartum with different muscles. As I start to bring them back online, I notice I am either A, very weak in that area, or I think I can do what I used to do and I'm sore for 2-3 days, you know?
No, for sure. I've actually experienced this and I'm wondering if it's, so I was sick, the week before Christmas, and I don't know if it's like, I'm dealing with some long viral activation stuff from that. But since then, and I'm trying to remember if I was having this much before then, and I don't think I was, I like shake in between sets. Like I sit down and I can feel myself, like it feels almost like an internal vibration to where like my muscles can't calm down. And so we're going through the flush right now. And then I'm gonna bring in some actual like mitochondrial support. Cause I've done urolithin A, I've done, you know, COQ10, I've done some of that stuff. It doesn't touch it for me. And so I'm going to try doing some peptide stacking with some things because I can feel I am so excessively sore for what I'm doing. Like I should not be where I'm at right now. And I'm wondering if being sick, like, kind of triggered some stuff immunologically for me. I tend to be very inflamed very easily. And so I'm like experiencing almost an exercise intolerance. I felt so wiped from my workout yesterday, and it was a 40-minute workout. Like, it should not have been, and I don't feel strong. I feel very weak.
Workouts should energize you.
Yes.
Right. So we talk about this in terms of energy creates energy. And I guess we should caveat, like, we're talking about a strength training workout, mm-hmm. a yoga class. We're not talking about HIIT workouts where people are just going, or CrossFit, like, you know, really intense 12 days of Christmas or whatever they're doing, trying to get rhabdo. But like, if you are just a normal person, you're training, you're going 3 to 4 days a week, your recovery should be good. You should be able to get into progressive overload and feel better. You should have gas in the tank after. So that's exactly what you're experiencing, is I'm gassed.
And I didn't feel this way 2 months ago. And so, like, that's where I know something shifted. And maybe it was excessive stress that I completely ignored, that we've had a lot going on. I would say mm-hmm. the past 6 to 8 months, things I feel like have been pretty heightened. And maybe it's just catching up to me, and I'm tired, and I feel like I can't recover. My recovery scores are low. So I would say, if you've noticed a big difference in what you used to be able to do, like, recently, and now things have changed and you can't tolerate exercise as much, you can't handle, like, you know, strength development is not happening, and you're eating enough, right? That's going to be a huge piece of this. Then it's something to consider that something else might be going on. And so we see this also a lot of times with long COVID, POTS, dysautonomia. It's such a hard word. And so we'll see it, because in those situations, people get very easy heart rate spikes. They get poor blood flow regulation. Their body is unable to manage the stress of a workout. And what we're kind of pulling this back to today is understanding mitochondria, because mm-hmm. a lot of this comes back to dysfunctional mitochondria. So let's do a little one-on-one, just a little recap, because we recently did a podcast on mitochondria. But mitochondria are basically like these tiny little power plants inside of your cell, and they turn oxygen and glucose and fats, so like your fuel source, into what's called ATP, which is, think of it like your energy currency. It's like your dollar bills that you got to spend. Skeletal muscle is packed with mitochondria, especially slow twitch fibers, which are used for mostly for endurance. So in normal exercise, in a healthy system, you should have an increase of energy demand. Your mitochondria ramp up ATP production. You may get temporary fatigue. Like, if you're working out hard, you should have some fatigue. That's very normal. But then your body is able to recover and adapt, and your body creates more mitochondria. They work better and they have a better capacity. But in impaired states, mitochondria cannot meet the demand that you are giving it. And so you accumulate excessive byproducts. Think lactate is the one that most people know, like lactose. Excessive lactate production. What am I thinking?
If you feel tired all the time and you're drinking water, you're probably missing electrolytes, because you need electrolytes to get intracellularly hydrated. We love Buoy because this is an easy way to get in sodium, potassium, magnesium, and trace minerals into your day without any of the junk fillers that most powders use.
Like, when your thighs feel like they're on fire, lactate burnup.
Oh, yeah.
Like the energy system.
Yeah.
I'm blanking right now, but there's three different energy systems, and lactate is one of the main energy systems. And so you get these, you get reactive oxygen species, you get stress signals and inflammation that go up, and your nervous system reads it as a threat. And so you get fatigue, you get pain. Your body's basically like, do not do this again to me. I cannot tolerate it. So when you have healthy mitochondria, it translates into your body builds resilience from movement and exercise. But when you have struggling mitochondria, your body flares. You get like a negative response from exercise.
Yeah. And I think this is where it would be good to look at your genetics. We just talked about this yesterday with a case. She's doing everything right. She is doing all the dietary protocols. She's done fasting protocols. She's done supplemental protocols, all the things, even on hormones, just has this malaise and this fatigue that doesn't seem to lift. And so that's where we looked at her genetics, and we see all blocks in her genes. And so essentially her body is not able to clear out mitochondria well and produce new mitochondria. So it's a constant evolution within our body and our cells to have, you know, new creation and then die off, right? And clean up. And so for some people, if we stack that with other things going on with their genetics or other factors in terms of their environment, right, that's really kind of spinning them out, if you will, they just feel like they can never have that really good energy and stamina. And so that would be something that we would look at. We'd also want to think about, you know, the woman in perimenopause and the hormonal profile here. So when we layer this in, it gets really interesting. And I love the conversation of estrogen always, because estrogen is so necessary and so needed, but also so wild. And she gets a little, you know, crazy sometimes. So estrogen supports mitochondrial biogenesis. So making more mitochondria, the ability to do that. It also supports our antioxidant defenses and efficient use of glucose and fats. As estrogen starts to become erratic, it's fluctuating, you know, up and down throughout menopause, you know, perimenopause, then it declines in postmenopause, mitochondrial efficiency drops. And that's why women notice in this phase of life, more fatigue, poor recovery, less muscle building in perimenopause and menopause. And this is also why I think that you will see people like Dr. Mary Claire, a bunch of, you know, different doctors, both conventionally and functionally, talk about longevity and estrogen for, you know, bone health. We talk about muscle and resistance training, because that's also very helpful here. Like, movement helps clean up oxidative stress in the body and support detoxification, getting your lymph system, you know, moving. So all of that is really important. And just because you start to feel this, our point is that we don't then stop working out, right? We have to find the right balance, but we have to also support the body, you know, in other ways, because we don't want to sacrifice our ability to have good quality muscle mass, low body fat, good metabolism, right? All of those things that are important otherwise, you know, for longevity. When we look at progesterone and the nervous system, we know that progesterone is our calming, more balancing hormone. It supports GABA and that parasympathetic tone, getting into rest and digest. Well, after the age of 35, we know that progesterone starts to take a deep dive. And so this is where, when it drops, we can become more of the sympathetic dominance, so fight or flight. And some women will get stuck in what I would call the freeze state. We struggle with sleep, deep sleep, adequate recovery. You have more cortisol reactivity, basically meaning that you just don't handle stress as well. There's not a buffer the way that there was before. And then when we think about thyroid, like, that plays a huge role. What doesn't thyroid, you know, play a role with? And so I think when we're looking at all of this, it's far beyond just our symptoms day to day and what your labs are saying. It's also looking at all of the factors. And that's really where, from a functional medicine perspective, it's important for us to evaluate all of the lifestyle symptoms and your health history, as well as, when we're looking at lab work, all 11 systems of the body, and how do these patterns and trends correlate together, which is why we're doing the 5-day webinar, which I'm really excited. If you have not done so, link is in the show notes. It's going to be a 5-day lunch and learn. We're going to break down your labs. We're going to go through every different portion of the panel, how it can relate to this stuff, and how it can, you know, share with you kind of what similar to what Becca was saying, why some of these symptoms might have popped up. And you can start to make, you know, the connection. Hey, I was sick 2 weeks ago. Maybe I haven't recovered because I have also come out of a very long season of stress. And I would agree. I think that that's playing a big role for you, because I know for me, over the break, I felt a sense of calm I haven't felt in a long time. Because even being postpartum, we were dealing with changes in our business, firing of practitioners, moving people around. It was kind of wild, right? Mm-hmm. And so thinking about that, it's coming into 2026. This is so important. And at a cellular health level, we don't get out of these places and get to a place where we can be resilient again, unless we, you know, support all of this with, like you said, the right nutrients, but maybe that's not enough chemical pressure. And then maybe you need to do that peptide stack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do it. Cause I've been eating pretty adequately, for a little while now. Like, I haven't been doing a ton of fasting. I haven't been doing super, super low calorie. But the thing to understand is that when you get sick, or you deal with like a COVID infection or a viral infection, and it seems to trigger things, it's because these infections, especially, I would say SARS-2, COVID, increases systemic inflammation. It directly impacts the mitochondria. It dysregulates your nervous system, and it disturbs microcirculation and endothelial function. So it affects blood flow, essentially. And in these systems that are already maybe chronically stressed, or they have genetic predispositions to autoimmune or an over-response of the immune system, or poor mitochondrial health genetically to begin with, well, you can end up with like a long viral activation, to where the immune system is not good at responding, recovering, and returning to a baseline. It basically over-responds. The body can't clean up inflammation fast enough, and you end up in this like stuck cycle of inflammation creation from the immune system. And in these situations, we get reduced oxygen consumption. So think of like your VO2 max that starts to go down. You get impaired oxygen extraction from muscles, which is extremely important for recovery. Evidence of mitochondrial dysfunction and altered energy metabolism. This is where a lot of times people actually notice they gain weight after being sick because their body gets worse at extracting energy from food. So you basically consume calories, but your body, it's almost like you're eating more than you actually are, is what the body is experiencing. Higher lactate at lower workouts. So you kind of hit a wall before you normally do. And so with this long COVID or chronic viral load, and you're trying to exercise, you're basically trying to exercise with an engine that can't rev. It can't speed up. And so your muscles don't get or use oxygen efficiently. And then the mitochondria can't clear the metabolic exhaust fast enough. Think of like an engine that's creating waste and exhaust from it. Your body can't clear it as fast as you're making it. So then it's just fumes that are going around and then you kind of crash. And so like we talked about, you can see this also with POTS or dysautonomia, where your heart rate skyrockets with minimal exertion. Your blood pools in the legs, brain and muscles don't get adequate for perfusion. And you even get lightheaded standing up or climbing upstairs or like bending over and standing up. Like you have no buffering system. You have no ability to tolerate even mild loads of stress. And so in turn, exercise is a stress in this situation. And in a healthy system, it's a good stress. But in an unhealthy system, you need sufficient ATP that's not being created. You need adequate protein from amino acids. And if you have poor digestive function or you're not eating enough or all of these things, you're not going to have proper extraction from food for the nutrients and the amino acids the body needs. You don't have good insulin signaling in these cases a lot of times. You don't have low enough inflammation to allow for repair. When you're inflamed, the body is not focused on nice to have things. It's not focused on hormones. It's not focused on muscle repair and recovery. It's not focused on all of these things that the body should be able to adapt and recover from. It's focused on the main issues at play, the main amount of inflammation, the gut dysfunction, whatever it might be. And so in turn, you feel like you can't tolerate things. There's poor blood flow. You don't have adequate hormone levels because, again, hormones are a nice to have. Estrogen, testosterone, growth hormone, thyroid, all of these things are needed to recover from exercise. And unfortunately, if you are chronically stressed, if you're inflamed, your body probably doesn't have adequate or balanced levels of hormones. And so in turn, the mitochondrial capacity is low. You don't make enough ATP to even meet your daily demands. So you don't have surplus to build muscle. The body will prioritize survival, not muscle growth. You have chronic inflammation. You have hormone shifts. You have nervous system overload. You have all these things. So your body's basically operating in kind of this conservation mode. It's not going to invest in muscle as a luxury. So we talk to so many women that are like, I feel like I work out and I can't get stronger. I don't build muscle. And they look swollen versus toned. Mm-hmm. And it's on your body's honestly just like trying to keep the lights on.
Yeah. Which is where you don't push through. And this is where when people come into our program, we talk about less is more. A lot of women who have had that, and we've shared our stories over the course of the years on the podcast, that grind mentality, right? Either us when we did 75 hard or you when you, you know, did CrossFit and then extreme dieting and all of those things that you think because calories in, calories out, right? The more I do, the better I'm going to look, often backfires. Those women often do the best in terms of dropping inflammation. They notice within 2 to 3 weeks how much better they feel because they actually can start to feel that energy and they're not expending it all the time. And so I would just say, I would not push through and I would not continue to think like more is more. You know, you want to definitely think about the cost of doing that. Because if you are going to continue to try to push through, what you can expect is to have increased oxidative stress, which is increased inflammation, worsening mitochondrial function and damage. And then you aggravate your autonomic nervous system and that function, raise your baseline inflammation overall. And so you now just feel like a walking ball of inflammation because you won't slow down. And sometimes that also with the slowing down requires eating more or changing your diet. And that could be that you've done keto because you think that carbs are, you know, the devil. That could be going through a phase where you're doing higher carbohydrates. You're doing a lot of antioxidants from fruits and vegetables and colors and getting all of these nutrients that your body needs to build and function, you know, various things in the system, right? And so again, if that's you, I'm just going to reiterate, more is not more. More is sometimes the very thing that is keeping you stuck. And many people out there like to make this argument of calories in, calories out. In clinical practice, time and time and time again, we can give you so many cases of either reverse diets that have helped women lose weight, or just them slowing down and getting that inflammation off has been the perfect recipe to get them out of that state of, you know, being in a flare. And so I think the other thing that we would wrap up here is, what can I do about this, right? What's practical? I hear you. Maybe I need to eat more. Maybe I need to sleep more. Maybe I need to train less and recover more. But what are the practical things that we can do? So number one is identify what level of exertion really triggers that crash. Know that in that moment, it's okay for you to say, I don't have to finish all 12 reps if I'm literally, you know, unable to get there with this weight. Maybe I need to lower my weight today. And if you want to get all 12 reps, you know, do 15 pounds instead of 20 pounds. That could just be one example. Have a delay between activity and symptoms. So I would keep a log here, because you can, you know, go through your day and then all of a sudden Wednesday, man, like, why am I crashing at like 2 p.m.? I can't even think. I can't focus. I can't think of words and do the things that, you know, I need to be doing. What has been happening in the days leading up to that? Because your body, it's not just responding to what happened 10 minutes before. It's responding to the last 24, 48, 72 hours. Think of athletes, right? They don't just eat a big meal to carb up the night before. They're generally fueling multiple days ahead of like a big event, right? Use that as guidance and maybe set a safe zone for yourself. Where do I need to draw some boundaries? Where do I maybe need to, you know, limit things in terms of, again, maybe that exertion? Where do I need to say no, essentially, right? So that I don't get into that crash point. Your job in life is not to prove that you can do hard things. Many of you out there, like Becca and I, we got the grit, we got the discipline, we got the determination. Our job now for longevity is to move well and age well. That's my number one goal. Over the break, like I said, I felt more calm than I have. I don't want 2026 to be what 2025 was in terms of my nervous system. If that means that I have to continue doing this mental work of, it's okay for me to train 3 days a week and walk or yoga or do some other modalities, because that's my threshold, right? That's my crashing point. Then that's my set point in this phase of my life. In this season, right? It might be different for you. You might be somebody who's like, I struggle just to get a walk outside. Start with 5 minutes, right? Start to maybe build up your resilience to those things. Do small things, do lymphatic drainage, do, you know, other meditative things or breathing things that can get your nervous system into a place that feels calm, because that regulation is imperative. Again, you could do the walking if you don't have access to that. You know, going outside, it's freezing, you don't have something at home. Maybe you think about doing light mobility. Do a YouTube, you know, restorative yoga or Tai Chi or whatever. And essentially all of this comes down to, you're building up, you know, from the bottom up. So short bouts of movement, exercise, snacks, they're coming back, y'all. 2026, I've got like 3 emails. Dr. Perlmutter just sent this out in like his group on Instagram. He's like, have you heard of exercise snacks? I'm laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh. But those little bouts of movement, right? Every hour you're getting up, you're doing 10 squats. You're going up and down the flights of stairs in your home. You are folding laundry, putting it away real quick. Like any of that daily activity that you can do, start with that. And, you know, focus on the things that really help you feel good with nourishment as well. So food wise, we are big advocates of adequate nutrition and making sure that you're diversifying your diet. There may be a season that you need to go into fasting, but that might not be right now because you don't have the energy, right? Your body's not producing energy. So you need to bring exogenous energy in, the right energy, maybe some chemical pressure, maybe some supplements, right? We mentioned a few that could be very helpful. Quercetin, NAD, PQQ, urolithin A, a lot of these things can be helpful. Peptides can be helpful, right? A lot of the mitochondrial peptides, MOTC, SS31, I already mentioned NAD. Like some of those things can be helpful if you're working with a practitioner and they're guiding you through this, but more right now is not going to be more in terms of how your body, you know, perceives it.